Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I am truly, truly blessed.
Amen. We are grateful to God for being able to be back studying the Word again. So we're going to get into the Word. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are looking, finishing up the 12th chapter, getting ready to go to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, and a lot of the words in the end of chapter 12 and beginning of chapter 13. This is Jesus Christ speaking to the religious leaders of this time, the Pharisees, and pretty much he was just putting them on blast, letting them know, you know, you're perpetrating a fraud.
Right.
And a lot of times when you do that, you really reveal where people really stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a pleasant thing when someone tells you you're perpetrating a fraud.
Right.
And so if we look back at chapter 12, verse 38, it says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." In other words, these were the Pharisees. These were supposed to be the rulers. These were supposed to be the ones that knew the word.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ones that were supposed to be with the scribes and supposed to be able to tell the scribes, "Okay, I want this." And the scribes would go and they would pull the scrolls out and they say, "Okay, this is what the word says." And they were supposed to be on top of it. And so when Jesus was talking to them, he was calling them a generation of vipers.
Hmm.
And they had wrong motives.
Hmm.
And so after he called them this generation of vipers, they said, "Well, we want a sign." in other words, he put them on blast.
Yeah.
He's telling them what the word says.
Uh-huh.
and they still acting like, you know, they need something else.
That's right.
It's a lot of times in ministry, you know, you tell people, okay, this is one, this is two, this is three, this is why we do one, this is why we do two, and this is why we do three,
mm-hmm.
and then they still need to see something else.
That's right.
In other words, it's not good enough.
That's right. That's right. And the reason why it's not good enough is because it's not the answer they want to hear. and as it is with the way God leads and guides us, He doesn't give us the answer that necessarily give us the answer that we want to hear, but He always gives us the right answer.
Amen. And so, you know, Jesus, He's not playing with them. And you know, when people are supposed to be in authority and supposed to be in the Word and supposed to know better, you know, and they keep coming up with this crazy off the stuff, off the wall stuff of what's going to benefit them, and they're not caring and they're not in it for the right reason.
Yeah.
God really doesn't like that.
That's right.
When you're not in it for the right reason, you're not doing it for the right reason,
mm-hmm.
He really doesn't like that. And,
right.
and so
right.
he just puts them out on blast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like, you know, when your parents tell you, I don't care about your feelings.
Right.
the famous,
well, I'm not your friend's parent.
Yeah, I'm not so-and-so's parent. You know, I'm not so-and-so's parent. And so he's telling these religious leaders, well, we need a sign. We need a sign. You know, and he's telling you, you've already had enough evidence. You know, I've shown you the chair, and you telling me, well, I need to see how the chair is made.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, wait a minute. Here's the chair. Well, I need to see how it's made.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll show you how it's made. Well, I need to see where the material comes from.
Right.
So it's like, well, just sit you behind that.
Trust me.
This is what the chair is for, right? You can call it what you want. But in verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil, oh my God, he's not pulling any punches.
Mm-hmm.
He says, an evil and adulterous generation seeking after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it until the sign of the prophet Jonah. In other words, there's not going to be a sign. The kingdom of God is here, and you're rejecting it. So the only sign is you're going to see is during the burial, the death, the burial, and resurrection. Then you will know
mm-hmm.
that the Messiah was here
right.
in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for a sign,
mm-hmm.
but because you're an evil and adulterous generation, that you want to turn away from God, you want to step out on God, you want to do everything except God wants you to what God wants you to do,
mm-hmm.
he's saying you're not going to have a sign.
Amen.
In other words, like with your parents, you say, because I'm your mama,
mm-hmm.
or because I'm your daddy.
Well, and trust what I'm saying.
Because that's what I said. That's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why, God? But why? Because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever been a parent and
yeah,
say that?
Lord.
Because I said so.
I heard it and I said it. When I said it, I said, oh, I sound like my mama.
Right. it's going to be my way. In other words, God's saying, you've seen it. This is the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can act up all you want.
Right.
Say, I mean, you're not like so-and-so mama.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care.
Yeah.
You making it hard on me. And God's saying, well, you're not going to get a sign because you already know that I'm looking out for your best interest.
Right.
And you know, you're just making excuses.
Right.
And so he's calling them out. In verse 40, he says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh, and he's saying this is what's going to be your sign.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say the people that were not even God's people, they don't have a better chance than they do.
Right.
In other words, because they responded to the word.
Right.
And see what happens is a lot of times in ministry you'll talk to people that are supposed to be in the word.
Right.
And you'll speak the word. I mean, every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I read what the word says.
What the Bible says, yeah. And still have their own interpretation to apply it to how they want to live and what they want to do. That's just keeping it real. And that's the worst, because you know that came from God. You've already accepted the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. But now you're not receiving Him because you don't want to be obedient based off what you want to see, what you want the answer to be.
Yeah, because that adulterous generation, they won't step out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to stick with what's right.
Right.
They want to go out to the stream.
Yeah.
That's what adultery is. You want to go with that stream thing to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Might not be good for you, but it feel good.
Quick fix.
Amen. Then you get out there and get in some kind of trouble, and then you want to run back to God.
Right.
And so what God's saying, I'm not showing you any other sign. You're an evil and perverse generation. You stepping out on me.
Right.
He said, let me tell you about the people that weren't God's people and how they responded.
Right.
Look at it says in verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Oh.
He said he's greater than Jonas. And when Jonas went to Nineveh, those people repented.
Yeah.
They're better than you.
Because
they listened to the word and repented.
Yeah, they listened and they were obedient.
And he says, I'm greater than Jonas. Right? Then he goes down to verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation. Right? She's better than you because what? And shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, her greater than Solomon is here. In other words, she came because she wanted to hear the wisdom that God had imparted to Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came. She left her pagan country to come hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. The folks in Nineveh turned to God. And here you are, God, right in your midst.
Right.
Greater than Jonah. Greater
than
Solomon.
And you still don't believe.
And you still, I need a sign. Come on, Sheila.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what he's saying. And you still don't believe. You know, I was taking a word last week about the blind man and how in Bethsaida, they saw the signs. They saw the miracles.
Yeah.
And they still didn't believe.
Who
and
did
that's it? Why he said, okay, blind man, come on here. Let me hear you. Let me do what
he
I
can
need
speak
to
for
do.
Himself.
And then just don't go back.
Yeah. But you know, people make all kind of excuses.
Right.
Because they really don't want to do the right thing.
Right.
And so they'll come up with excuse after excuse.
Because they want to, it's not so much they don't want to do the right thing, it's just that they want to do their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they want to do their own thing, but they want God to bless what they want to do.
Their own
and
thing.
God does not bless mess. And the sooner you understand that, and the sooner you get that, you will learn that you have to do it God's way, whether you like it, whether you understand it, whether it makes sense to you or not. Because at the end of the day, he knows what the end's going to be.
Mm.
And we're going based off our limited knowledge of what we see, what
right.
we hear, what we
right.
smell, what we touch. And that's why they're saying, let me see something.
Right.
Which they already saw. Jesus is right there. But it
greater.
Still wasn't nice because they did not, he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He didn't tell them that you can live any old kind of way. When you want to worship me, worship me. When you don't feel like it, that's fine too.
Yeah. And
I still bless you.
And so what he goes on to tell them is he goes on to further to tell them about their spiritual condition.
Oh.
And these next verses
are
rough. When I say rough, these verses are rough.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about demons in them.
Yeah.
Let's look at verse 43 through 45. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. In other words, when you doing this thing and you say, okay, I'm going to get myself together.
Huh.
See, we can only get ourselves together for a little while.
Right.
So when this unclean spirit goes out of them, right? He walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. So okay, I'm gonna get myself together, right? I call this these cells that we have in our body that are that store fat. And you can lose weight, but if you don't take the cells out, when you start eating again, it's gonna store up again.
Right.
If you don't fill it with the right thing,
right,
it's gonna store up again.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's ever lost weight,
And then if you don't keep doing the right thing, then you jump right back on you.
Uh-huh.
And then it brings some what? Brings some more, right?
Yeah.
So you're in a fatter situation,
right?
Because you didn't do the right thing. So
right.
let's see how this plays out in verses 43 through 45. And so the unclean spirit is going through dry places, seeking rest and wants to find something. So folk can get right and if they don't have the Holy Spirit,
there's no peace.
So if you don't have the Holy, if you're not rid of that demon,
right,
and then bring the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to come in, then you're gonna end up your later part is gonna be worse than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're not for real and ask the God, the Spirit to come into your life, then that demon is gonna come back in you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people, I call it the also the fat cell and also the sober thing. The sober thing where you drinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel so bad, and then you get to the point where you say, I'm not going to drink again. I'm not going to drink again. I'm tired. You done called Earl and everything else. I held on to the porcelain God. I'll never drink again. Right? Right? And then what happens is it's Friday night all over again.
Right.
Yeah. Then it's all over again. And you end up right back in it.
Mm-hmm.
Until you make a commitment where you say, I'm not going to do it anymore, and you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and the Holy Spirit fills that void, so that demon can't come back in.
Right.
And so what you have people in verse 13 where it talks about the fallow ground, or it talks about the good soil. But what happens is if it doesn't take root, if the Spirit of God doesn't take root, is in you. What happens is you can allow those demons to come back in you. But if the Holy Spirit is there, then there's no room for the demon.
Amen. Amen. And that's why the Holy Spirit will give you a sign, will give you a sign and let you know, nudge your spirit to say that's not of God,
right,
and you'll leave it alone. If
right.
you don't have that Holy Spirit in there, you're gonna be walking in the flesh,
right,
but Satan will just dangle that thing right in
yeah.
front of you again, and you'll yield to that temptation.
Yeah. You'll be influenced by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in verse 44, it says, then saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. So if you haven't put the Holy Spirit in accepted him and brought him back into your life, what will happen is the enemy said, well, I'm going to go back and mess with him again. Amen.
Amen.
And he'll keep going back, keep messing until you surrender and allow the Spirit to come in and take place where that no longer can affect you.
Right.
You become dead to that thing.
Right.
Anybody seen a dead person in a coffin?
Yeah.
Seen a dead person, you can go up and smack, pow, smack them. They ain't going to say
nothing.
They're not even going to flinch.
Right.
They're not going to say nothing because they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we should become dead to sin.
Right.
And allow the Holy Spirit to come in so that we don't get influenced by those things that used to cause us to go out and do crazy things.
Right.
So like it's like now, because you're dead to that and the spirit's inside you, when that spirit tries to come back to try to take up residence, talking about, yeah, we used to have a good time.
Uh-huh.
And you hear people talk about the good old days.
Right.
No, them was the bad old days.
Yeah.
And so now, what you understand is the Holy Spirit. And so when that spirit comes back and say, man, don't you want to hang out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go back to the club. We can go out, get that black book out. Don't you want to do so and so? Girl, you know he fine. Don't you know you want to call him up and just see what he gonna do? And now because you're dead to that
right.
and the Spirit of God is in you, now those you don't respond to those things.
Right.
But if you don't allow the Spirit of God to come in inside and dwell in, you'll end up allowing these spirits that the Satan has to be able to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be in church for 10, 15 years.
Oh, my goodness, man. Come on.
And the demon, someone pray and the demon go out, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior,
right,
even after 15 years, that demon will come and you'll be the worst Christian, not Christian, you'll be the worst demon in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder why there's demons in the church.
Amen.
Because people haven't accepted God as their Savior and the Holy Spirit come into their life.
Mm-hmm.
They're just perpetrating a fraud because that demon has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
So the demons can be cast out, but if the Spirit doesn't come in and dwell, that Spirit can come back.
Right.
Because Satan will say, oh, they really are perpetrating the fraud. They didn't accept Christ. They just got emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit got cast out of them. And the demon come and knock on the door. He said, come on in.
True.
And there's levels of demons. There's demons that will go out and say, well, we're going to make it worse for you to try to get rid of these. You know, it was easy for you to cast me out, but I'm going to go get my big brother.
Yeah. We're all going to sit up in here.
I'm going to get my big brother. I'm going to get Pookie in them. I'm going to get Ray Ray in them. We all going to come in and set up camp. And so when they try to cast us out, they're going to have a hard time.
Right, right.
And you got folks sitting up in church with 7 demons, 8 demons in them. Amen.
Amen.
Creating heck.
Yep.
I said heck in the church. Because when the demon was cast out, they didn't receive Christ as their Lord and Savior and are filled with the Holy Spirit. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for the demon.
Right.
But that's not to say, Sheila G., you can't be demon-influenced even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You have this dynamic in the body of Christ where you got those filled with the Spirit.
Right.
Right? And then you got those that are in not the body of Christ, but in like with the wheat with the tares.
Yeah.
They're in church building.
Right.
Acting like church folks.
Right.
But they still feel with demons.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got this dynamic of the demons in the congregation, mm-hmm. and then you got the demons that are influencing the true saints.
Right.
And so you have to be aware of this to understand that the wheat and the tare are going to grow together. God's going to do the separating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't negate the fact that they're still growing together.
That's right. That's right. And it's still not there. Mm-hmm. Even once you accept Christ, you still have to continue to feed that Holy Spirit. You can't accept Christ and say, okay, I'm good now, and not strengthen that. It's like a muscle. If you don't continue to use that muscle, if you don't continue to walk, if you were to just sit and never get up, eventually your legs will be weak. Your legs will be weak and you can't walk. And so in order to walk in the Spirit, you have to feed that Spirit. What does that mean? That means you have to have a prayer life. You have to study God's Word. You have to recognize when those challenges come in your life, you have a choice. You can either be upset, sit, cry, whine, and let everything come at you. Or you can get on your knees, pray, turn to your favorite scripture, even if you have to say it, paraphrase it 20 times to run those demons out. You can run Satan away, but you can only do it with God's Word.
Amen. Amen.
Not your word. And it has to be, I heard something today, someone said that even when they're going through, what they say is God, Holy Spirit, come into my heart.
Yeah.
Skip my mind.
Yeah.
Skip what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Skip what I'm saying, but reveal it and come into my heart. Because that's where that Spirit comes from. Because the things that we think, that's why Paul says, think on things that are pure,
mm-hmm.
things that are holy,
because
when that mind gets to going based off what we see,
we're in trouble.
So it's like, Holy Spirit, forget what I'm thinking. Speak to my heart.
Amen.
Then let my heart guide my thoughts.
And so, you know, Jesus cut right to the point. And we as in ministry, we have to cut straight to the point and say, the reason why you're acting like that is either number one, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, and there's a demon rolling around and you're causing you to act a fool. Or number two, you got the Spirit of God, but you're not being strengthened because you're not feeding yourself.
Correct.
And so you're acting just as bad as
the person
that doesn't have the Spirit.
That's what you say about our kids. Like, you know how you had a child that's like, really not a bad kid, you know, like just totally just out of control, but they're acting bad.
Acting up. And you had to cut your chase. But people in ministry, they don't want to hear somebody tell them you're acting like a demon.
That's right.
Pastor, they call me a demon.
Mm-hmm. And they're feeling sick.
I didn't call you a demon. I said you're being influenced by a demon.
Yeah.
You're possessed by that demon.
And you're not acting right. And you're not doing right. And to be honest with you, when you're in ministry, if you don't do that, then you're going up against the Lord. It's like you have to make that decision. Are you going to please people? Are you going to please God?
Amen.
Are you going to do what people tell you to do? Are you going to do what God tells you to do? And sometimes he says it has to be in season and out of season. But he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right. And so there's a demon gone, right? Now they're acting right. People say you can fake the funk for a little while. You can fake it for a little while. But the true DNA is going to come out.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to rear its ugly head.
It will. It will be exposed.
And you can fake it for a little while, but then it's going to come back. And so Jesus is telling these Pharisees, y'all ain't the seed. You might be born in the bloodline of Abraham, but you're not the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. You're not going to inherit it because you act like demons.
Mm-hmm.
You're influenced by demons.
Right.
And so in verse 45, now this is what's really scary, is after you done perpetrated fraud, you done thought you got yourself together, the demon come back, knock on the door. Hey, man, hey, you know, it's me. We had a good time. Remember when we used to get down like that, right? Now he comes back in, but look at the situation. In verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself what? Seven other spirits. What? More wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is what? Worse than the first. Even so shall be it unto this wicked what?
Generation. Called him out. That was hurtful.
There's,
no wonder they wanted to kill him.
There's, see, when folk hear the word, it's not going to be an excuse. Mm-hmm. You don't have to act a fool. You have a choice. You don't have
right.
to act a
That's
fool.
That's true. That's true.
You can ask God to remove this from you.
Right.
But if you do it and you ask him to remove it and ask you to fill you with his spirit, fill you with his love, then you stand a better chance. But if you just saying this thing is rough, you know, God, get this out of my life, and that's what the whole Savior Lord syndrome is. People want a Savior, but they don't want a
Lord.
Lord.
Amen.
I want salvation, but I don't want you to be Lord over my life.
I don't
want to be obedient.
Right.
I just want you to save me from this, but I don't want you to be Lord, because the Lord is going to come in and tell you what to do.
Tell me what to do.
And tell you how to live. See, that's, well, see, we got a problem with that, Jesus. Because
I'm grown.
We want the salvation, but we really don't want the Lord part. Is there any way we can, you know, do a workaround with this Lord part? You know what I'm saying? I'm, you know.
One foot in, one foot out.
And that's what people want. People want to save you, but they want with the Lord.
True.
But if you get saved, if you accept him as a Savior, you have to allow him to be Lord. That's when
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will come in,
right.
And it will begin to mold and shape you. This is a hard teaching. Folk don't want to hear about
no.
demons in the church. They
no.
don't want to hear about
no.
how I've been acting. You've been acting, yes, preacher, you've been acting like a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, deacon, you've been acting like a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, member, you've been acting like a demon.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So seek the Lord for direction and guidance. Do self-examination. And I'm not judging you. I'm just saying, based off what's going on, that you need to seek the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit and for guidance and direction. And if you truly seek them with an open heart, he will provide the path for you to go.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Sometimes you have to stand alone.
And when God, Jesus talks like this, folks say, well, he's a loving God.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to get that demon up out you
yeah.
and up off you.
Yeah.
But majority of the time, we end up turning on each other.
Right.
That's Satan's trick.
Yes, it is.
His trick is to influence you if you're in the body of Christ is to influence you with that demon.
That's right.
And then to keep you from allowing him to be Savior and Lord and manipulating you with that demon.
Right.
And so you got to come in this thing with your eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that I'm not behaving according to the word of God, there's an outside influence that's influencing me to do that.
Amen.
And I have to recognize
that's
that
right.
for what it is.
That's right. That's right. And if it's something, a change that I have to make within myself, then I have to make that change within myself. And if not, and, you know, I always tell couples this, too, that first to look at yourself, and then if it's not you, ask the Lord to guide you and to make that other person receptive
right.
to what the Holy Spirit, not what I want.
But what the Holy Spirit.
What the Holy Spirit wants. And the Holy Spirit can reconcile that situation.
It sure can.
But if you're going based off your own personal agenda, it will never work that
no,
way.
No. And that's why we have to learn that love never fails.
Right.
And when God said, and you know, we're teaching this in our sermon month, is that there's two things that God wants his people to be able to do. He wants us to be able to have the proper relationship with him, number one, and then have the proper relationship with each other. And he says, you do this through love.
Right.
And he says, all the rest of this stuff hang on these two commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Is to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your soul, and to love your brother or your neighbor as yourself. And so what he wants us to do is he wants us to be in the proper love relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the proper love relationship with
each other.
That's it. This is what this whole our whole earthly experience is about. I don't care from your infancy to the time
yeah.
you die. This is what God said. This is what this whole thing is about.
Mm-hmm.
Is you have the proper love relationship with me and the proper love relationship with each other.
The problem that this society has, though, is they don't necessarily understand what love is. You have some people that go to the extreme that think that love means to say yes to me all the time and no chastisement. That relationship that we have, that love relationship that we have with the Lord, is because we're in these sinful bodies. Sometimes
yeah.
he's going to hurt our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And
whip your butt.
And whip our butt. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. And that's the same way with each other. Sometimes we have to agree to disagree.
Right.
It doesn't mean I don't love you.
Right.
It's just that I am just saying various things. And,
well,
and that's what we need to understand about love. And then you have to the other extreme where that I love you to the point where I don't show compassion.
Right.
So there has to be a balance of love, compassion, as well as discipline in order for that relationship to work.
Absolutely. And look what love had to endure on the cross.
Right.
That's what love had to endure.
Yeah.
But that's, in a nutshell, our earthly existence is to be able to love, have the proper relationship with God, relationship with each other.
Right.
And God said this is what he intended from the beginning
mm-hmm.
for us to be. We were made a little lower than the angels.
Right.
But we were made in his image.
Right.
And he loved us so much that he was willing to do whatever it took to get us back to where we should be.
Right.
And in order for us to live right, we gotta see how my life is lining up with what how God would treat me, what his will is, how God would want me to act towards you, how God would want me to speak to you, how God would want me to have a relationship with you. And I can't do that unless I have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to constantly work on these two points. We have to constantly get into the Word of God, meditate, get into a prayer, a communication with him. Let God work on us. Let God intercede and move on our hearts. So when I come across you in a relationship with you, I can treat you the way God wants me to treat you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But if I don't get into a love relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to loving you, I don't have a clue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is because you're black and you're and I'm white and you're different,
mm-hmm.
then I'm scared of you because of the color of your skin.
Right.
Instead of saying that you were, God said we were all made in his image, that you're just a part of God.
Right. Part of the family.
A part of the family. Mm-hmm. And relate, but mm-hmm. you know, you have whole countries
yeah.
against You know, you have people, you know, putting people in slavery and people killing each other and people taking people's land and people doing all kind of evil and crazy stuff. You got black men killing
black men killing
in the streets
other.
Like they're just
that's
worse
right.
than dogs. Just
hunting.
just shooting them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you know, I'm getting in trouble now. Then they want to tell people that they're live matter.
Yeah, it is.
Can we pause right there? Yes, your lives matter, but you won't know how to appreciate me if you don't have the right relationship with God.
Right.
That's the answer. But people like the Pharisees, what they wanted to do is say, we don't need God. We're the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
We know what's going on. We don't need God. And he called them an evil and perverse generation, a generation of vipers that are looking for a sign, but are perpetrating a fraud and don't want a sign.
Right.
Because they want to do their own thing.
Right.
He said, you're full of demons.
Mm-hmm.
You get yourself cleaned up for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but then the demon come back in, and you like darkness more than light, so then you're going to let the demon come back in, but the demon's going to come in and bring seven other ones and make you worse off than what you were.
Yeah.
And you see folk like that in the church.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the church body, but in the church congregation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yes, you do. And people just don't recognize. And the thing about the compassion of Christ, though, is that all you have to do is say, okay, you know what, Lord, I'm being negatively influenced. Then totally receive it again, and then do what you need to do to get right with God. Again, working on that relationship with Him first, and then everything else will move smoothly as well. But if we don't work on our relationship and continue to feed our spirit to grow closer to Him, that way we can't say, okay, you know what, Lord, there's some things that I'm not even liking about myself. And He could help us to do what we need to do to get those demons out and keep those demons out. Because we are human. We are in the flesh. So we are going to have our emotions come up. But if you continue to ask God to guide you, you can go through it and push it aside and keep it moving.
And that's what I just want to make sure everybody's understanding tonight. That might be the question tonight. Is to understand that once you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no more room for demons. But you can be demonically
influenced.
Mm-hmm. I want everybody to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Once the Holy Spirit's inside and he's dwelling with you, the Holy Spirit's not going to allow any demons to come in and repossess you.
Right.
That's not going to happen. People don't understand that. Once you're filled with the Spirit, you're born again, filled with the Spirit is there.
Right.
The demon can't come in anymore,
right.
but he can sure enough influence you from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
For what you hear, what you see.
Right.
Flashy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this is the saved folk in the church, and then you got folk that don't have the Spirit in them.
Period.
That are perpetrating the fraud.
Right.
That you also are having this negative effect,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you had to deal with every day, whether it's in the church, whether it's on your job, whether it's with your neighbors. People are being influenced by these demonic spirits.
Yeah. Amen. Definitely.
And there's spirits that are worse.
Mm-hmm.
Some are worse than others.
And it's for real.
And it's spiritual warfare, and people will hear it, and then they won't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why sometimes they hear it and they won't hear it is because the Spirit's telling you that ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't true.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's luck. That's
uh-huh.
not how it is.
Uh-huh.
That's just karma. What goes around comes around. No, that's that knucklehead demon that every time you go over Shardy's house, amen. Can I say it like that?
Uh-huh.
Every time you go over Shardy's house, even though you know the Lord is telling you you don't need to go over Shardy's house, you end up over there anyway.
Right. Amen.
And it's a spirit it's a spirit of lust, a spirit of whoremonger, spirit of whatever it is, and because you're not being led by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit or getting stronger in the Spirit, or you have that Spirit that's inside of you.
And God's a loving God, and all you have to do is ask for forgiveness and ask Him to come in, and then you can start over again.
Amen. So this is the question is do we really understand about the demonic spirit, the question is, do we understand how demonic spirits can influence or how demonic spirits can possess? It's a serious question. Serious question. Do we understand how demonic spirits can influence, and do we understand how demonic spirits can possess and then repossess? All right, let's ask that question.
I don't think we really understand fully about people being influenced by demons, because we so much with what we see more so than what we don't see.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
But the battle's not against flesh and blood.
And as Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, Paul didn't write that to the Ephesians just to be writing, but this is a serious warfare.
To the church. He wrote it to the church.
Yes, he did. Amen. And this is something that even going on now. And we must be aware that things are happening in the spiritual realm where our physical eyes cannot see. And that's why some people are hog wild. We don't have to ask why they like that, because quite a few of them could be spiritually possessed by demons.
Amen.
And there's some who are saved could be influenced.
There you go.
By demonic forces. They're holy, but they may not act holy all the time.
That's it.
And that could be one of the reasons, being influenced.
Exactly.
Amen.
Questions are getting deeper and deeper every Thursday. Make you think. I definitely agree with my brother who made those comments. I definitely think that as one, I know for sure that people don't know, but I think the definition is clear that, you know, those who are saved and filled with the Spirit are the ones who are easily influenced, and those who are not saved or in the Spirit are the ones who don't know or don't care to know are the ones that are possessed. But I think as Christians, we have to be extremely careful, because we still live in this world, and we have to use our spiritual eyes and pray to actually know what's going on as far as who you're interacting with. Someone who's a good person 90% of the time, but you're catching them on a bad day and they've been influenced by the Spirit, and there's a way to handle that. But then there's also a way to handle people who don't know and not are of Christ or of the Spirit, who are actually being possessed by demonic demons or spirits. So I think you have to be really careful with, one, being able to properly assess the type of individual that you're interacting with or you see or you're dealing with, and also knowing how to tackle that. And the only way that you're going to do that is to stay, you know, as you say, prayed up, know the word of God, being able to recognize, hey, here's what's going on. I know this individual. I know how this person is, but they're obviously being influenced, because no matter if you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not, we still live in this world. We are still subject to having bad days, being emotional, and sinning. We sin every day, you know. So, you know, and I'll be the first to say, I'm sure there are days that I may not even catch it, but I'm probably influenced by the Spirit. But amen, I can admit to that. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that does it, but it is what it is. But you want to try to grow. And then also, not speaking from the person looking, but also speaking from the person within, if you know that, and you know that you have some days where you're kind of getting influenced or you're torn, have a plan in place where you can say, look, I'm feeling a certain way. I know this is nothing but the devil trying to influence me, either by a recognizable face, a friend, a situation that's comforting, but it could still be the influence. Because remember, the influence is not going to be a situation that's not going to appeal to you. So you have to be careful that when influence comes, it's going to come in a friend, a girlfriend, someone that's attractive, an attractive situation, a bottle of alcohol, or, you know, friends calling, hey, we're going out tonight, you want to come out? So remember that influence is going to be something that's enticing to make you want to do it. Yeah, exactly, to go that way. So I think we as Christians have to be mindful of that and recognize that before we get caught up in the moment, recognize before the moment comes. And then that way we will be easily influenced. And as far as the people that are in the Spirit, you just pray for them and then meet them where they are in an effort to try to get them to the level where you're not possessed. But what happens is that you have them understand pretty much what's going on. Then when they get to that level of being filled with the Holy Spirit, then the next step of growth is, okay, now that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, recognize when the influence comes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to the phone lines. Thank you all for your comment. We're going to call the last four digits number of your phone number. Last four digits, 9772. 9772, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. Oh,
evening.
My goodness. It's just funny how you came to me first, because the Holy Spirit always, so far, has been sticking with me all the time. I'm learning it, and I'm graduating as I go by, and every Thursday, the devil comes in and tries. He knows I'm going to Bible study. And he knows.
I know that's right.
He knows every Thursday he tries. He can start out even and smiling and carrying on and grinning. And before I get to Bible study, he done started out of me and trying to make me change my mind. I ain't coming. I'm going to keep on working like I'm working. And the Holy Spirit is steady working with me all the time. Thank God for
Amen.
That.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And that's so true. It's like Bible study night comes.
Yep.
And all kind of stuff will
Start
crop up.
Acting up.
Yep.
Acting up.
All right, we can go to the last four digits, 6726. 6726, you're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. The Holy Spirit is working with me more and more, but I find as a Christian, there are definitely times when the Holy Spirit is there, and I don't always recognize it's there until something goes wrong. Now, a situation has come up where my stepmother passed away, and you know, I've had my moments where I've cried, but you know, my sister, I love her to death, but I know she's really going through it, because she was closer to her mother than I was. This was her birth mother. This was my stepmother, my father's wife, and a situation come up where I called, and you know, she just getting into it. My mind says, okay. You know, I try to talk to her, and I say, look, Shawnee, calm down. You know, it's gonna be all right. And you know, she just goes, you know, off the deep end. You know, it's something that I've never really experienced with my sister. I mean, when my father passed away, it was, you know, it wasn't like that. You know, but I'm recognizing that there's a demon that's come out, and you know, I didn't lash out at her. In the past, I would have. So I just say, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. She's really stressed out. She's stressed out with me asking questions about, you know, my aunt coming up here for the funeral, and you know, where to send the flowers and everything. And she, you know, she said, she told me she was hoarse, and she said, I hung up on you once, I'll hang up on you again. I'm like, okay. You know, my mind told me, okay, don't go to the funeral. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's nobody but Satan, because my stepmother, even though she wasn't my birth mother, she was real good to me. You know, she could have kicked me to the curb because my father had a child by another woman, but she never did. She accepted me,
right.
And I thank her for that. But I'm learning more and more about how to counter attack Satan's way. All I can do is remain in the Word, remain patient. Don't you know? I got a saying: never let them see you sweat. And you know, it's working for me. It's working for me real well. And all I can do is give thanks to God, and that I'm growing. That I wouldn't allow her to. You know, I wasn't gonna give her no reaction, because I know this is rough for her. Probably rougher
right.
for her than when our father passed away.
Right.
I'll continue
right.
to pray for her. I'll continue to read my word and study and read my word some more. And that's all I can do and grow. But I really enjoy listening to you all. And I didn't realize you can have the Holy Spirit in you, and Satan
mm-hmm.
can still influence you until tonight. But I thank God that the Holy Spirit is growing in me. You know, there are a lot of things that I've learned to not have to deal with anymore. And, you know, you just don't get upset about everything. I mean, there's a reason for everything. When my aunt talked to me, she said, I didn't want to believe it at first until I talked to my sister today. And I'm like, okay, yeah, she's probably giving my aunt, you know, problems as far as talking to her. But, you know, it's going to pass. You know, the sister that I know is a loving, kind sister. And as soon as this funeral will be over with and she gets some time to
mm-hmm.
herself, she'll still be loving, kind sister that I know of. You know.
Amen.
And that's all I have to say.
Amen.
I appreciate it. Thank
mm-hmm.
you for thank
mm-hmm.
you for your comment. Amen. Amen. We're gonna go to the next caller. Last four digits 1741. 1741. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We always have the two natures warring inside of us, good and evil. Paul tells us when he would do good, evil is always present. And the only way we can be victorious over this flesh and over this evil nature that we have to deal with is to walk in the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5:17 tells us, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit mm-hmm. against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And the only way that we can have victory over this flesh is to just mm-hmm. stay in the Word, as Sister Gregory, Evangelist Gregory told us, just daily stay in the Word, just pray, and just be honest with the Holy Spirit, and just let the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit look. I'm having some problems here. This flesh
I know that's right.
takes
Amen.
Full control. And
yes.
in my little strength, I can't do anything. So,
Amen.
But I know right. you have the power to do it, because Jesus
that's
has told
right.
us that if we abide in him and his word abide
uh-huh.
in us, that
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
we ask, that he would do it and the Holy Spirit would
yeah.
do it for us. That's why he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another
right.
comforter. So when
that's
we
right.
walk in that Holy Spirit and let God know, I'm not a superhuman being, you know, because he didn't
yeah.
make us to be God. He made us
nope.
to be man, you know. And we
that's
need
right.
him, because if we didn't need him, Jesus wouldn't die. He
that's
was
right.
the person
right.
that
Amen.
Conquered that flesh and conquered Satan. So the only way we're going to be victorious is to let the Holy Spirit lead us and just be honest and say, I'm having some issues. I got some problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not
Amen.
Always the other man. It's us sometimes. It's me sometimes.
Amen.
Right.
Stop pointing the
it's
finger at
everybody
else.
My
flesh
wants
everybody
to take
else.
Control sometimes. So when I come to God and be truthful in the knowledge to him, then the Holy Spirit can help me walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comments tonight. All right, we're going to go to our next caller. Next caller is 7979-71, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We all have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. But we always have to be prayed up, know God's word,
yes.
and be prepared. And we are not exempt from doing things that may allow those demons to come in on us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know God's word, and you're prepared, it helps you to deal with it better. We've had some good answers and responses towards our Christian walk and how demons camp around us. They
yeah,
try to
they do.
Make us feel weak,
yeah.
challenge our spirituality. But when you know the word and God gives you the discernment to recognize those demons that will come in on you when you least expect it, and you can
right.
recognize it, and you go to God in prayer and allow
mm-hmm.
his will to be done, that's our protection.
Amen.
God is the way, the truth and the light in our lives. And that's what keeps us protected from those demons. They are there.
Mm-hmm.
And they will challenge
mm-hmm.
you. The
yes,
ones that you least expect will come
expect.
In on you
uh-huh.
just like a thief in the night. And when you
yep.
know anything, you are bound up and saying, where is this coming from? Why is this going on? But when you can recognize it, reflect, go back to God and ask Him to do what has to be done in the situation, it relieves you of having to even think
yeah.
about it. Because He gives you that power to call on Him to release you from those demons. And they are there.
Amen.
Don't think for
mm-hmm.
one
yes,
time
God.
That they aren't. And they come in all forms. All kinds of forms.
Yeah, they do.
And when they strike out at you, you better be prepared.
Amen.
That's why you have to stay in the Word. You have to stay prayed up, lifted up, and let Him guide your path.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives
Amen.
You the relief of knowing that He is who He is, and He will do what He says
right.
He's going to do.
Yes, He
and
will.
And when you
while
use that Holy Spirit back on them, they will back
Amen.
Off of you. They will
That's
back.
Right.
Don't
Amen.
Lay down and be stomped by the devil.
Mm.
That's what He wants. You are challenged.
Amen.
That's when
right.
you know you are challenged. And when you can
yeah.
stand up and fight back with God's Word, you're
Amen.
Safe and strong. Thank you.
Amen.
It's the Word of the Spirit.
Right.
It's the Word of
yes,
God.
The Word of God.
Yes, the Word of God. Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comments tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 2598. 2598. 2598. You are on the air. 2598. You listening in? All right. We're going to go to 7348. You are on the air.
Good evening. Can you repeat the question for me, please?
Yes, the question was, do we understand that when you're born again and you're filled with the Spirit, that you still can be influenced by demonic spirit? And then if the person is not born again, filled with the Spirit, that they can be possessed with a demonic spirit? And just ask the question, you know that this was the case.
Well, most definitely, and I think that we have to be careful, and that's why we have to stay prayed up, and we have to operate in the Spirit, because even though you're born again and even though you're saved, it does not mean that you don't have the ability to be influenced by negative spirits, and our behavior
yeah.
sometimes is reflective of the fact that when we're not careful and we allow the enemy to use us, and sometimes we do things even to family or close friends not even realizing, because our mindset and our spirit is not in the right place, and so the enemy then is able to use us as a catalyst for turmoil, and that's why we have to
Amen.
Stay straight up and stay in the Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment. Sheila G, it's good to go back. That's why it's so important to go to Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we don't know where this stuff comes from.
Right.
You're frustrated, you can go through depression,
mm-hmm.
and you can, you know, turn to alcohol, drugs, and other drugs and alcohol, that's the spirit right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's in a bottle.
That's right.
And you're trying to use that to feel good or to take the place of God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to have to be able to get into the Word of God. And when you're into the Word of God and you understand that greater is He that's in me.
Yeah.
And people on the phone line were talking about, you know, that God would not leave us comfortless, but
that's
He'll
right.
He'll come and dwell in us,
uh-huh.
and we'll have His Spirit. And again, we talked about this is the life that God wants us to live. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died spiritually.
Right.
They died spiritually. Their relationship with God and their relationship with other was compromised.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what God intends for us, to have the proper relationship with each other and with Him through the Spirit. We were created to be spirit that live in a body that has a soul. It's like a triune God. We're supposed to have spirit. We're supposed to be a spirit live in a body that has a soul.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just soul and body, then the soul and body has no direction. But when you're spirit, soul, and body, now you're operating in the form that God wants you to operate.
Mm-hmm.
So you can love me even though sometimes I'm not lovely.
Amen.
Amen. Because you're operating in the spirit, and you can recognize the attack of the enemy, and you can go to God in prayer. And sometimes, you know, again, we're spirits. But we live in a body that has a soul, but, and we're emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And if you smack me and talk bad about me, and disrespect me,
mm-hmm.
don't think I'm just a robot.
Right.
I got a feeling.
I'm going to feel it.
I got a feeling.
And I'm going to react.
But, and I'm going to react, but if I'm filled with the Spirit of God,
I can control that reaction.
In the appropriate manner.
Right. Control that reaction.
And what happens in the world is people are influenced and they don't respond in the appropriate manner.
Mm-hmm.
You're either influenced demonically or you're possessed demonically.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not operating in the spirit or walking in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Right.
And in the flesh, and so you become in this constant battle and not realizing the battle's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but are mighty through God.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should be able to stand. And having done all to stand. He said, you know, with the sword of the Spirit, with the word of God. And so we should be able to speak truth, and we should be able to speak truth in love, and we should be able to understand that is our power.
Amen.
That is the power of the Spirit. That's the power of God. And to recognize and have that knowledge and say, oh, I'm getting off track. I need to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get back on track in the Spirit, then you can, if you're born again, and ask God to forgive you. He says if you are confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins,
mm-hmm.
and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can get back up and get back in line.
Right.
And those who are spiritual, it says to restore those who have been overtaken in the fault.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone's overtaken in the fault through the Spirit, we who are spiritual should be able to speak to that person spiritually. And if that person is spiritual, they should be able to receive it.
Right.
And be able to say, okay, I am off track.
Right.
And be able to do some inward introspective,
mm-hmm.
and say, everybody can't be wrong. I must have the problem
right.
this time.
Amen.
But you have people that are always right.
Always right.
Never
wrong.
Amen. That's all our time. I'll let you close this out.
You know, God's word says we have to try the Spirit by the Spirit to see if it is alive.
Amen.
And that is what we have to do. When that demonic spirit comes, I actually experienced it this week, where it came and the person, because they knew they were in the flesh, they're like, okay, I don't want to talk about it. But because the other person on the other end didn't recognize and do the same thing, they kept coming. And therefore, the flesh continued to rise up. But and that's what we have to do. It's like, you know, we always talk about that 10-second rule, but sometimes that demonic spirit will keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so we have to stay prayed up, and we have to ask God to lead, guide, and direct us in everything that we do.
Look at how Satan came at Jesus after he had fasted.
Right.
And he just came harder. Yes. If you be the Son of God.
Right. I know you're hungry.
Yeah.
And that's how we have to do and recognize that even when we do slip up, as hard as we try, we go to the Lord, and the Lord will come give us comfort, because like after Jesus, then the angels came and ministered to him. So let us all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to come and expound on your word, Lord. Now, Father, I come praying right now that you will continue to teach us how to stay away from those demonic spirits, and when they do come, go to you and seek your guidance, so that we can fight back and fight them off, knowing that we truly can fight them off with the word of God, Lord. And then when we do get influenced, that we will fall to our knees and lift our eyes up to you and ask you to forgive us and lead, guide, and direct us in the path that you would have us to go, Lord. Lord, I pray for everyone that has been on the call, been in the studio, that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct our path. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Done that.